Lunchtime.
Are we live? Do we actually go live?
Hold on, I gotta look at the 8 different places where this thing goes live and or fucks me. Yes. It says we can end the stream at any time we like. YouTube says you're live.
Amazing.
Our current bitrate, honestly, for our audio is lower than the recommended bitrate, which is bullshit.
What?
Yeah,
substandard YouTube doesn't know bit rates. What are we doing? What are we doing here? How's things going, man?
Not bad. What you can't see behind me, you see a normal looking studio here behind me.
Mm-hmm.
What you can't see is that if I turn just the slightest bit, I got boxes galore down here, man. I'm cleaning out my closet because we're going to be moving soon. I'm trying to get everything that I want to like donate or... All the stuff I want to keep in one pile, all the stuff I want to donate in another pile, all the stuff I want to keep but can't pack up yet because we're using it for stuff in another pile, all the trash in another pile. You should see it. It's insane. It's like a hurricane came through here.
It seems like that's a lot. That's a big deal. Like moving, especially since this is your first house. So you've like accumulated stuff like you probably never have before.
Yeah.
It's going to be an ordeal. Plus, you got the studio.
Right.
Like that whole disruption. Although, I guess, which is a big announcement, we're going to do our first ever since the pandemic live studio recording of a lunch next week. It's going to be our first thing. So I'm going to get Jim a little nice, tidy spot cleaned out here in the office. So I guess that takes the sting out of it. You could be down for a week or two and we could just record out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
When you move. Mm-hmm. So. That's not so bad, but still, it's moving sucks.
It's a lot of work.
Moving sucks.
It's just a lot of work.
No matter when you do it.
Hopefully it'll be worth it. We'll see. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a pretty good week. Been busy. You know, had one of those classic bald move. Holy shit, we got so much stuff to do weeks. And we're going to have a couple of those, you know, because the problem is, We just got pulp coming out of our ears, and we also have to serve the prestige community, and we don't have like a steady Eddie television show to do that with. So we're trying to patch together movies, but sometimes like we got The Walking Dead coming back, we got Rick and Morty, we're currently covering Loki. That's a lot of pulp, and we want to do them all because we're excited about them all, and people like it. But whew, man, it really, really packs the schedule full. And then the Game of Thrones, like Anthony's doing a whole other podcast, like
first one of those things.
Just like, man, I think we're making an effort. Yeah, like Fast and Furious coming back next week, which I'm super excited for. But like, it's going to be like a 7-8 podcast week, so we got a couple weeks like that coming up. Everything's going pretty good. It's been pretty uneventful. I have a old school kind of lunch thing to do. I want to throw a crazy topic. You know, back when we didn't have a lot of audience participation, it was just the first few lunches, just me and you staring awkwardly at each other in a studio. I want to bring some of the energy back because I got a weird topic that came to me this week. You know how in this country, we like to modify the genitals of half of our children.
Oh,
okay. Like the slice off some foreskin, and it's entirely as far as I can tell, it's entirely medically unnecessary. It's a lot of cultural and religious stuff all tied up to it, but we do that, and I'm going to suggest that like we stop that, but maybe parents, since we're already decided as a culture, it's okay to modify our infants.
Okay.
To better suit, you know, things that would be, you know, like the rationale behind circumcisions. Oh, it's better. It's cleaner and it's this and that and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's surgically remove buttholes. So you don't have to wipe them. Mm-hmm. Can we get behind a cultural predilection towards docking babies' little toes, snipping them off? Nipping those little grain of rice size things. What do they do for you? Do they do anything in your life other than fucking cause terrifying amounts of pain out of proportion to what they are? This all came to me why I stubbed my toe, by the way, if you want to know where this came from.
Can we just die? Place like, for a ring, maybe? I don't know.
Can we just dock the ring pinky toe, the pinky toe of all babies? And here's another suggestion. What if we surgically removed toenails?
Okay. I mean, I've had trouble with toenails in the past, so might be for this. Yeah.
We pull wisdom teeth. It's like it's too crowded in there. We've evolutionarily lost a selection for bigger jaws. Yank them out. Let's why stop there? Toenails. Has anyone benefited from having toenails? How many people have been harmed by them? Baby, like, they're 24 hours old. You fucking numb their feet. You dock the baby toe. You surgically remove the toenails. We're a superior species.
Is this?
Can we get off the circumcision train and onto the docking toes and removing toenail train? Is this a modest proposal?
I'm just trying to suss out the end game here. Like, what is the point? Why is it just so you won't stub your pinky toe?
Yeah. Like, what? Okay. The pinky toe, as far as I can tell, is the useless.
Toenails. That's another confusing. Okay, you've introduced two.
How
concepts
did the toenails
here.
Benefit? How did the toenails benefit us? They're pathetic for defense.
It's tough to defend the toenails. The toenails are kind of indefensible.
Yeah, just get them out of there.
We needed toenails before we invented shoes. I feel like the day we invented shoes, we should have done away with toenails.
See, I think toenails are a genetic mistake from having hands. Like, the body's like,
it's just like,
I'd never argue against the existence of fingernails. Those things are useful for opening pop tops, if nothing else, right? Having a utilitarian length of fingernails is an advantage. You know, you can use them as tools, as weapons in a pinch. Toenails? None of that shit applies. Ain't nobody using their toenails as a weapon. All they do is get smashed and cause undue amounts of pain, and they turn black, and then they fall off. Mm. They get all fucked up. It's nasty. We should just remove them. We should just normalize having little wriggly flesh nubs at the end of our feet.
You know, I tried to remove one of my toenails once, and it just grew right back.
See, but I think that's where you surgically, you just like use a laser to like cauterize that fucking nail bit. And you know, if you've ever had a baby, you know, their toenails are just like cellophane. Like that's got to be like super, just like I said, just numb their feet, numb their feet, take off the pinky toes, remove the toenails, done.
All right.
I guess there's some people that be like, well, self-expression. I like painting my toenails.
Paint the nail beds.
Paint the nail beds. There's one option. Other option is, you know, false toenails. For the people that want them, just get the acrylic nails, have them, you know, glue them to your toe and paint them. And then, you know, you can all just peel them off if you don't want them. And I can have my non fucked up toenails.
I like it
because I don't have toenails.
Yeah,
I hear this. I hear that is like if you have persistent ingrown toenails, the leading therapy is to remove the toenail. And sometimes they do surgically sterilize the nail bed so it won't grow back. It's possible. I say we do it. We just do it. I'm not saying we force people. This isn't like a government requirement. I'm just saying that like
we allow it.
I'm saying that like if a doctor will be like, yep, show me your kid's penis, I'm going to whip that foreskin right off. I think I could be like, you know what? Hold the foreskin, but let's dock the toe. Let's do the toe docking and the declawing. I think my only objection is that it
will create some form of waste here. Like, what are we doing with the pinky toes and the nails that we're taking off? Because I don't want to create a whole bunch of human waste.
I mean, babies generate a shit ton of it. Like, I mean, you're talking about the placenta, and there's a whole fucking like garden hose assembly.
Maybe we can do something about that while we're at it.
this tarry black waste they make for the first 24 hours. They're just human waste factories. I'm suggesting you add just a grain of rice. Just a nubbin, essentially. Less material than you're going to get rid of when the belly button falls off in six, you know, however many weeks it takes. I've forgotten. Well, only one time dad.
Gnarls
that's what
chat
I'm saying.
Says we use the toenails to replace the foreskins that we took.
There you go. I bet it's an equivalent exchange, especially when you think of like baby girls getting the stuff done too. So you got You got four toes replacing one foreskin.
Everybody can have extra foreskin.
Gotta be mad.
Yeah, God, we can add it back in droves.
Yeah. We harvest infant toe skin to restore the foreskins of people who want that restoration done. Yeah. Okay. There's some more human solutions
there's
here.
There's got to be a few stem cells still alive and kicking in a baby's toenail, right?
Yeah. There's got to be. Yeah. There's got to be some stem.
You can grow it into whatever cells. You want. Let's grow it into to meat for
need a tooth?
Human consumption.
Need a tooth? You need a tooth. You just inject it in the slot. 6 weeks later, you got a baby pinky.
Hell yeah.
At your tooth socket.
It's like the Expanse. You just put a jelly cast on it and good to go.
Josh the Black Sun, you're supposed to eat the placenta. I mean, yeah, obviously. Best part about the placenta, cold placenta sandwiches the next day.
I sliced mine extra thin. They go further.
Yeah. Uh-huh, put some barbecue sauce on there. That's I stole that one from Mike of Penny Arcade fame. Did you? Oh, here's something to talk about. Did you see Mike Krahulik? Yeah. No, Mike Krahulik has announced that he's retiring from PAXs.
Damn.
Jerry's going to continue to MC it with Chris Straub.
I was going to say, he's the one, right? If any of those guys was going to retire from the public life, it's Mike, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder. I'm curious to see how it goes. Like him essentially retiring from public life and continuing doing I assume the Twitch streams because he does pretty popular Twitch streams now and whatnot. So it's not like he's just like going away. It's just more like I never like travel. I certainly don't like large gatherings of people. I've been gritting it out for the last 16 years because, you know, I'm a team player and all that. But the pandemic's changed a lot of things and I want to change a lot of things moving forward. I'm like, interesting. I'll be looking to see how that all goes. Because honestly, I think
it'll go fine.
I think that PAX is bigger than Penny Arcade. Like the last few times I went, which was a while back, I felt like maybe a 2-to-1, 3-to-1 ratio of people that were there for the games and the vibes and people that knew what the fuck Penny Arcade was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I agree. It's becoming less and less relevant to that convention. Now it's and video games are becoming a lot more relevant, right? It used to be less video games, more like board gaming and stuff like that and Penny Arcade stuff. But now it's, I don't know. I haven't been in a while, but I assume it's just gotten more that way.
Yeah, I was hoping because the last few they've had completely on Twitch. So I watched like a lot of the Penny Arcade panels, the ones that I would always like to go to. And it'll be sad that because I really liked the Q&A panels they did, the D&D panels they did. It'll be sad that they don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. He also like left it open. He's like, I'm not saying I'll never go to a PAX again. It's more like I'm just not going to attend all the PAXs because now there's like, I think there's a European PAX, there's an Australian PAX, there's 3 North American PAXs. And he had, you know, obviously pressure to do all that. And especially Australian PAX always like took them out of the game for like 2 weeks, you know,
has to,
because it's just a whole fucking ordeal to move everything down there, travel with your family, multiple family. Yeah. It's like, it's interesting seeing these, like, you know, Penny Arcade's one of the people that have influenced the stuff that we've done, and seeing them kind of trans, like, it's going to be interesting to see some of these content creators. Like, it's like, you know, Johnny Carson fucking retired, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's it going to look like? A giant bomb broke up, you know, Mike staying home from PAX, like seeing how these people kind of shift into different phases of their career, I think is super interesting.
Yeah.
So what part do you want to dock off children, or do you have another topic you want to talk about?
I think we probably get rid of children altogether, but that's just me. Then we'll get all the foreskin we can handle.
How?
Foreskin for
if
everyone.
We don't have children. If we stop having children, there'll be no more foreskin ever.
Well, that's we still have the children. We just dock the whole thing. Just throw them into the foreskin factory, the foreskin machine.
I see.
Crank it up to 10 and.
There'll just be peak foreskin, but then within 80 years there'll be zero.
Yeah. So I mean, we could probably do like drive through foreskin windows at that point. Get your foreskin hot off the stampers? I don't know. I don't know what you would use to make foreskin. But
would you like to supersize your foreskin for an extra 99 cents? Would you like to go for the elephant trunk? The supersize combo?
I mean, what would we call it anymore? Okay. We couldn't even call it a baby's arm, right? We'd have to call it something else.
Call it eight skin.
Eight skin.
Jesus Christ, I said I offered you a way out of this. Do you have a topic or are we going to continue to do this?
Alexis and I went out to a restaurant bar. We went out for drinks for the first time in like a year and a half.
It's glorious, right? It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had gone out with you and Jesse and like I was just talking about how surprised I was that everything kind of just felt normal after getting vaccinated and going out to the bars. Same was true this time. And I had a lot of fun. I remember, God, this is why you don't do this all the time, though, because it's still very expensive.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We went out, had a couple drinks, had an appetizer, and just hung out and talked, and it was fun. It's a good time.
That's cool. Yeah, we're doing like, or hesitantly doing like a going out night for the family, like on Wednesday nights where you like hit up a place that we've never been to before. That's pretty fun. I think that's something that we can, because that's about how often we ate out before the things changed, is like once a week or so. Instead of ordering pizza, now we just go out and get something. So it's cool going to different places we've never been before and seeing. Plus, man, there's like, went to sushi place last week. I can't remember its name. It's over there, like on this one like really packed strip, right around I can't think of any neighborhoods in Cincinnati. Where the hell do we go to see the movies at, Jim?
Is it like Oakley area?
Oakley, thank you. It's in like old Oakley. There's a sushi place and like all their rolls, like essentially all weeknights are, and most sashimi, all their stuff is like 50% off if you eat in.
I'm always scared of 50% off sushi. But I think the day before this all goes bad, get it out the door.
I think they're just like a lot of local restaurants have been hurting and they're trying to get people back in. I imagine that stuff will drive, but like there's what I'm saying. There's a lot of post pandemic deals out there and there's a lot. It's a great time to be out trying new things if you want to do it. So
and getting back into the swing of stuff.
I mean, Mount Lookout Square, Cecily says. I've never been. That's the one that's got this weird, like, man, it makes a traffic nightmare, but there's like an island of parking in the middle of like this major thoroughfare. Yeah, but it's neat. It's neat. It's like a nice little bustling hub of activity on a weeknight.
Can I just say I'm watching the stats here on our live viewers, and the instant we stop talking about foreskin, boom, it's dropping. It's dropping.
Oh, really? Shit.
Yeah, we lost two people.
Yep.
bring it back.
Foreskin or foreskin or placenta. cooking tips. So you just want to talk about going out carousing? Was there anything else?
No, that was it. Other than, you know, getting my shit ready to move. I haven't been doing much of anything else.
You're getting a really good, cause you're not moving till like August or October. So you're like,
we're listing our house in August. So we'll see, you know, how fast it sells. And what I hear, like, people are bringing cash to the table, so they may not be any financing involved.
You'll be finalized with, maybe not finalized, but you'll have your house sold within like a week, probably within a few days.
That's what
unless something
realtor said. Yeah,
changes. Yeah, yeah.
Houses are selling for in a day right now, and they're selling for more than asking, and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's insane.
I hope that's the way ours goes.
Me too. Well, let's go ahead and get onto the meat of the conversation of the lunch stuff. The way this works, if this is the first time you're joining us, is you leave your questions or your comments, your topic suggestions on a special VIP thread each week on our forums, forums.baldmove.com, or you can hashtag bald lunch at us. Just tweet anywhere and I'll see it. And several of the Bald Move community took us up on that proposition, starting with Admount from Texas. If you guys could go back in time 10 years and do it all over again without significantly changing events outside your own life, so there's no, you don't have to worry about paradoxes here, you don't have to worry about ending civilization.
Okay.
What are some of the things that you would not change? In other words, what are some things you think turned out really well and you would just look forward to them happening again? That's a good question, because most people ask us what you'd do different.
But my answer just wants to be everything, because we are where we are, and I'm pretty happy with that. But like, that's a lame answer.
I think the Groundhog Day stuff, that was I wouldn't do anything different about that. Like, kind of the low key way we started off with. So it's kind of like a surprise to everybody, including ourselves. And we kind of like steadily built on that. Like, that, I felt like that. I mean, we could have done things better here and there, but for two guys just fucking around watching Groundhog Day and raising money for worthy causes, I think it's not so bad. The formation, I guess, of the Bald Move community, that was like really gratifying. To see like a self-sustaining movement of pretty cool people get together and build each other up. That's been neat.
Yeah, I mean, all the successes we had, I wouldn't change those. I don't know. Like, yeah,
is there anything bad that's happened that maybe like that, like you still wouldn't change that because I don't think you look forward to bad things happening.
I mean, unless you learn things from them, right? Yeah. I'm trying to think of the lessons we learned from the bad things that happened that have benefited us greatly at this point. I don't know that there's a ton of that. We've been extremely lucky. You know, aside from a couple of setbacks and a couple of relationships that just didn't go anywhere.
Right.
We've been pretty lucky. So.
That's the thing. It's like losing the Amazon affiliate in the Save Bald Move campaign. That was a very special time, but if you'd ask me, would I rather depend on the generosity of our community to raise nearly $50,000 in a 3-day span, or keep the $128,000 annually that we were projected to get from Amazon?
Right. There's no
and that
contest.
Number probably like, oh my God, that number would have gone fucking bananas if we had been able to keep that through. I mean, that was just at the... Like, we weren't even at 100,000 Game of Thrones. Like, what would that have done? Like, season 7, we're raking in 1 million people being like, you can give us free money. It's just go use this link. Like, right. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. But, easily the biggest Bald Move boner. It was our fault, kind of. I still maintain. So,
And we could have done it. I think we could have done it by. But the thing is like, even if we'd done it by the book, I'm pretty sure Amazon, like, was looking to like shut that those money spigots off. Maybe. They have to.
But, I don't know. I mean, why don't they shut off CNET's money spigot? You know, like all these CNET's big websites that use Amazon affiliate links. Oh yeah, they got to be making far more than we ever made. But
maybe you're right. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a tough question. Because yeah, we could have done it better. All the things we did right. I would keep those.
Do you guys still have the silver? Yeah, fuck yeah, I got the silver. In fact, I got it. I got it in bulk right here. Like, I got it all here. Here's the big fucking.
Oh yeah.
What is this?
I mean, that silver is worth more than spot price to us, Freddy.
10 troy ounces of silver. Fuck your bitcoins, baby. I got the hard cold cash right here. So anyway, let's move on to Michelle from California. Happy Friday. Much love, guys. Happy Friday to you, Michelle. What's the weirdest request someone's asked of you? Weirdest question you've received when you were live streaming? Have a great weekend and thanks for all you do to make us so happy.
Show us your socks.
I mean, I was going to say the whole feet, wiki feet shit, synchronized eating right into the microphone. I think I took off my shirt 1 year at people's behest. We've definitely gone through the whole Zoolander self-realization that you're just a monkey dancing for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're like with a hostile crowd throwing bananas and laughing. Yeah, I'm under no illusion here.
yeah, it's definitely the socks.
What are you going to do?
People, I don't know. It just became a thing. I don't think it's perverted. I don't think anybody's looking at my socks, jerking it behind the camera, behind their screen or anything. But, you know, it's a funny thing. They pointed out, oh, you got bad socks.
Yeah, you got to raise your sock game, old man. Yeah.
I don't know what a good sock game is nowadays, because the patterns are out, right? Patterns are like all those crazy millennial hipster pattern things. I think those are
still
done.
A thing.
Now, is it plain white? Is it plain black? Is it ankle? Is it knee high? I don't know.
You need to get yourself a teenager to live with you, because they'll tell you all the things you're doing wrong. And,
yeah, where can I find one?
Yeah. I mean, I got one for a couple weeks. You want to book some time?
No.
So you can know how fucking lame
I would like him to evaluate my socks. I'll come over. I'll take off my shoes. I'll show him my feet. See what he says.
No, I'm going through like a sock renaissance. The summer's tough because I just like wearing no show, and I feel like that's really dad, like the no, like only dads wear no show socks now, but I like it. I don't like tan lines. And when I'm wearing sneakers, when I'm not wearing flip flops, I'm wearing sneakers, and I don't want big tan lines. But in like the other three seasons, I've been experimenting with the novelty socks, the colored socks, I like it. It's a lot of fun.
I got some. Got some real nerdy. I would imagine the Star Trek socks, not in. Never have been, never will be, right?
I don't know. I think you could, I mean, a subtle like Federation insignia, kind of like small repeating pattern. I think that would be, it's like, yeah, if you just have a picture of like fucking Data.
Yeah, it's Spock.
It's just, he's just cute.
Live long and prosper.
With little molded floppy ears that come off from the ankles, you know? that's probably not cool. That's a hard sell.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Chuck Scipione. This week, DC tried to tell us that Batman wasn't a fan of box lunches and that heroes don't do that. Did you hear about this? Does your wife never tell you anything about what's going on Twitter?
I don't want her to. I'd ask her to please stop if she did, but no.
So there's discourse. Apparently, one thing that DC pushed back on season 3 of Harley Quinn, which is coming out soon, I'm very excited for it, is that they had a scene of Batman and Catwoman fucking, and Batman was going down on Catwoman. And DC requested that they change that with the comment, "Heroes don't do that." Which started a whole bunch of hilarious discourse about why Batman wouldn't eat pussy, how deplorable it is that Batman wouldn't eat pussy. My favorite take was, well, of course Batman doesn't eat pussy because Bruce Wayne is legendary at it. So if they, like, it would be the dead giveaway if, you know, it's one of those dichotomies he's got to maintain, you know, billionaire playboy versus
immediately
grim vigilante of the night. You're right, it just would be a dead giveaway. Vicky Vale would be like tell all. So but it's fucking ridiculous. The question pivoting off of there is, since we all know that's not true, which DC Marvel superheroes do you think would be the best at mouth love? I gotta think that like Mr. Fantastic with his essentially flexible, like every piece of his body is silly putty, that could do something interesting.
Certainly.
Like if his mouth can turn into a custom love toy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds pretty. I think that's the answer right there. Do you really want super speed? Do you want the flat? Do you want the flash?
Sometimes.
Lash in your clit like a million times a second? Like, wouldn't that just like,
I mean, people use
a braid.
People use those wands, so yeah, probably.
I think there's some diminishing returns and like some real pain, perhaps there, but I don't know. I haven't mastered the Speed Force.
I think maybe Aquaman to keep it nice and nice and slippery.
Oh yeah,
like never running out of saliva, right?
Yeah, there, he just keeps it moist, keeps things moist and slippery. That's for sure.
You think we can find a sponsor for this episode? Is that a thing? Can we monetize this one? Is that going to happen on YouTube?
Oh, probably not, especially since it's unlisted. All right. Alan from Tasmania. American Crime Story on FX has covered some real life events such as the OJ, such as the OJ Simpson trial, the assassination of Gianni Versace, and the soon Clinton Lewinsky scandal. What event in recent history would you like to see a movie or TV show cover in depth that you hadn't seen before? I like this question. Huh. And I two jumped immediately to mind. One is, what the fuck happened to the Silk Road? Because I remember following that very closely 5-6 years ago and being like fascinated by this. And then like the guy that found like their info security was shit. He was like trying to hire assassins on the Onion Link network. And then the FBI came in there, stole a whole bunch of Bitcoins. Like, I would love to see a tell all of that. And then more recently, this whole Wall Street bet situation. Yes,
that's the one I was thinking of.
Because I don't know who is doing what, but there is obviously some illegal shit happening right here, right now.
Oh, yeah.
There is some Wolf of Wall Street type shit happening. And I'm not sure if it's the wolves on Wall Street or it's the wolves in Wall Street bets. They're motherfuckers. I don't know if we talked about this on lunch or is this offline. There's motherfuckers putting my billboards in my neighborhood.
Right.
Bought by these Wall Street bets companies. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I want to see FX's take on that. Do you have any suggestions?
I mean, yeah, the Wall Street bets, the GME stuff was going to be my suggestion. Shit, there was a TV one that I thought would be really cool. Early Walking Dead stuff. I would love to see a thing about Frank Darabont and AMC executives and how that whole thing went down. Because, whew, that'd be good.
I would see that as a tell-all. I would also love to see kind of like the producers meets some other kind of some kind of farcical kind of thing. That is an interesting story, like Ed Wood crossed with the producers, you know.
Right, sure.
I would like to see that. That would be a good one. That'd be a real good one.
Yeah.
Dustin says they already made a Silk Road movie. I wasn't aware of that.
And yeah, I think I also we're would, talking yeah. like big budget stars, like that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I'm talking like the full on Hollywood treatment of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing is like, I don't know if these things came out in like 2015, 2016, did they have the whole story? Like, was that like, I kind of followed along as it was popping, and I kind of lost track of it. But once everything got shut down, but I imagine with all the investigations, a lot more shit came to light, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway. Zvakarlos says, I'm nearly finished up catching up with a year of lunches that I missed. I'm back to the beginning of last year, and it's been a wild ride hearing about the early days of COVID. You're telling me. My question, though, is how would you recommend watching the back catalog of Star Trek to a 25-year-old who's only saw the J.J. Abrams movies? I'm a big sci-fi nerd, but there's just so much Trek out there, and I don't know where to begin. I've got some ideas, Jim. What do you think off the cuff?
I mean, I think if you... to me, the best Star Trek is Star Trek The Next Generation. I might skip that entire first season and maybe the second. I might start in like season 3 of Star Trek The Next Generation. I don't know. If you're not going to be put off by like really cheesy and kind of bad stuff for about 50 episodes, you could start from the beginning. But there's a lot of bad stuff in those first two seasons. Season 3 gets really good.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I think that anybody, because these things are designed to be episodic, that you can just jump in at season 3 where the ratio of good to clunker is more like 6-1, where it's inverted in the first two seasons. Everyone says that season 2 is where Riker grew out the beard. Bullshit. There are some bad episodes in season 2. Unfortunately, and this is the truth, there are some key pivotal episodes that you will rob you of enjoyment of some of the beats if you don't go back to see them.
The end of season 2, right? Isn't there a Borg episode in season 2?
That's exactly. So I'm going to go back and try to find, I'm going to try to curate you a list. Because I think you need, even though it's bad Trek, you need to watch the pilot two-parter, because if you don't know who the fuck Q is, even though he radically changes and kind of his characterization and stuff as a thing, like it's just, I don't think you're gonna have as much fun. And also it's kind of like, cover your eyes. It's bad. It's just like really earnest Gene Roddenberry Star Trek. And it's kind of cringy and fun in that kind of way, I think. But like, you got to see the first two, so you can establish that. And I think that might be it in the first season, to tell you the goddamn truth. Is there another Q episode? Maybe. Oh, maybe Data Lore episode 13. Cause that's a pretty pivotal Data episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Skin of Evil, because that's an important death in the show that happens pretty high in. And then for season two, I think literally the only thing you want to watch is the Q episodes and the Borg episode.
The stuff with Maddox,
the one and the same,
isn't in season two, is it? That's three.
Who's Maddox? Help me out.
The AI researcher who wants to.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Thing. So you want to watch episode 9 of Measure of a Man to get that plot line for sure. Let's see. I'm trying to.
Yeah, we ought to just write this shit down and then publish it on the website and just point to
episode
it.
Episode 16, Q Hugh. And then that's about it. And then, then you just skip right to. So that's like 5 episodes, and you skip right to season 3, and you'll have 99% of what you need to know. And then, like I said, if Star Trek The Next Generation is like really, you just really hit your spots, you go back and watch the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, what would you say about Deep Space Nine? Because I kind of think you could skip the first season of that too. Like, pick it up when Worf and the Defiant show up.
I tend to like all of Deep Space Nine more than I like all of Next Generation. I think Deep Space Nine started off much better than Next Generation started off. So I'd recommend watching all of it if you are really into, you know, what Next Generation's putting down. Deep Space Nine is like more of that, especially early on, right? It has like more of a Next Generation feel, and then it kind of changes into something bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that show starts off with like very important plot points that travel through the entire series, but it also has its share of. Here's the one thing I recommend if you're going to watch Deep Space Nine, is you skip the episode called Move Along Home. It's some of the worst television I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I get, cause that's the one that you made me rewatch, and I'm like, oh fuck. Yeah. This, what I don't even, I blacked this one out of my memory, and I know I watched it. There's no Next Generation episodes like that. Like, I've seen every one of those fuckers at least 6 times, even the bad ones. But, I don't know. That's what I would go. Josh the Blackout, interesting question. Have either of us purchased anything off the Silk Road?
No.
I was gearing up to when it all kind of got blown up and got fucko. You can fill in your own blanks what you think I would be up to buying.
A hitman.
But yeah, for sure. I was trying to take out this motherfucker right before he started fucking with my money. But I never did. I got Tor figured out, and I got onto the dark net and I was browsing around, but I never actually bought anything. What about you, Jim?
Nope. I never even got on it. I heard about it, thought it was cool, but probably a bad idea to get on there. So,
yeah. The Mad Classroom. Jim's talk about models and Aaron's talk about painting minis has made me want to ask if either of you have seen the relatively new Adeptus Titanicus models from the Games Workshop. This is a side game in the Warhammer universe, but the models are regarded by a lot of people to be some of the best the company has made in a long time. Some of the larger Titans have hundreds of parts and look amazing when fully assembled in painting. Any interest in this from either of you? I've been a longtime Games Workshop fan and have avoided purchasing models or painting them. Discovering this last month was finally enough. Discovering this Titanica stuff was enough for me to get into buying, building, and painting. Have you heard of this, Jim?
I have not. I'm looking at them now, though. How?
So.
Okay, are these big? Yeah. I can't tell.
They're big. I mean, they are big. They're large, but they fucked the scale up, so they're not in scale to like a space marine.
Yeah, I see them next to dice, and yeah, they're pretty big.
Because if they were like to scale to a space marine, like they would be the size of me, if not bigger.
Nice.
No, cool, Titans were one of the concepts that, like, there's like three core concepts that kept pulling me back in the Warhammer lore. Number one was the Emperor of Mankind, this guy who 30,000 years in the future will try to resurrect the dying embers of this human empire and lead humanity in this glorious crusade focused on rationality and science. That he would be betrayed by one of his own sons and kept alive on this throne mechanism for 10,000 years, please, as a withered corpse and worshipped as a god in this dark parody of the empire that he created. Fucking love that shit. I love the Dreadnoughts, which is essentially if a space marine gets hurt real bad but not killed in battle, they'll take his remains and shove him in essentially a bio coffin and entomb him within this living machine for him to fight forever until the machine's physically destroyed. That was a fucking and then the fact that the Adeptus Mechanicus, this weird techno cult on Mars, worships machines to the point that they have these hulking like statues, like walking cathedrals that they call Titans, that are the living manifestation of their machine god, the Omnissiah. It's just, I don't know, man. These are massive robots that can shoot battle cruisers out of orbit. It's ridiculous. And it seems like a lot of fun because you're just like, it's like Godzilla versus Godzilla, except for it's Mecha Godzilla versus Mecha Godzilla. I think it's cool, but it's also one of those things where it's like, this hobby gets expensive, and they refer to it as the plastic mound of shame when you have just like a ton of projects that you're like, oh, this is so cool, I'm gonna buy it. And I've already got like a stack six boxes tall, so like not getting into anything new until I get what I got painted. And I got some cool stuff, so I'm not hurting for things to paint. But that universe is aggressively depressing. Yes, that's why I love it so much. I love it. I love something that's unapologetically just grim. There's no happy endings. It's just it's like fucking scary stories to tell in the dark for adults in space. So that's what I think about that. Freddy, speaking of Freddy, thoughts on ERCOT? So this is the regional power company thing in Texas. I did not know that if it gets too cold in Texas, well, I guess that makes sense. It gets too cold in Texas. What are you going to do? Power grid's not going to work. It's designed to work in Texas.
Sure.
In June, but apparently it's not 2021, designed to work in Texas. It's hot. It's too hot for the power to work now too. So it's a real problem. It's not even real summer yet. It's not even high asshole summer in Texas. And they are already asking us to conserve energy because Texas independence grid can't handle the heat. Not trying to get political, although the political aspect of this debacle is objectively hilarious. Mm-hmm. Just want to hear your outside view on Texas failing its residents.
It sucks.
Man, if you live there. It sucks. And it's going to kill people. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. This is like Enron 2, except for they kind of like voted for it, right? Like I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, they were super proud of like how they kept Texas's power grid independent, and how like free market and all that stuff was, and it looks real bad. Doesn't look good.
Yeah, I mean, without going into the politics of it, that's all I really have to say is it sucks. And hopefully, yeah, they'll get their shit back together before real summer shows up and, like you said, a bunch of people die.
Yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about, how much of our productivity boosts in the last 30 years or so have come from just really tightening down on things like supply lines and mean times between failures and like worshiping that. Because like, you know, why have a warehouse full of metal that you're just waiting to fabricate? Like you gotta store it. Some of it's going to go bad. Some of it's going to rust. You know what you should. You just need a tiny shed that's just enough to store the things that you're getting in the day before. They're going to be fabricated the day after. And boy, you can save so much money when you do shit like that. and say, and this is, it's trickled, this just in time inventory, this just in time mentality has trickled throughout all our economy, and it's like just saved like tons and tons of money, and that money has just gone to everybody's bottom line. But now I think we're seeing the, like, the bad end of that is, like, have you tried to go to IKEA and buy anything lately?
No.
Like, toilet paper, you know, people is a couple of people hoarded toilet paper and suddenly we can't wipe our ass in this country for a month. Like, I think we're starting to see in, like, the microprocessor shortages and stuff. We're starting to see the limitations, and maybe, like, there's a wisdom to, like, not having your economy running so hot and so tight that, like, any single disruption can devastate entire sectors of the economy.
Yeah, and we're essentially living paycheck to paycheck on everything.
Yeah, as a globe, mm-hmm. as a globe. I think that you're starting to see some of the seams pull apart of that. And the same thing is, like, this has also gone hand in hand with privatization. Like, well, why are we having these inefficient bureaucracies watch over important things like our water systems and our power systems and our bridge infrastructure? And, like, why can't the free market do that? It's going to do it much more efficiently. Do you want a bridge that's barely able to sustain its load, or do you want something that an engineer said, fucking throw 10 times that weight for 50 years, it's going to stand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want, like, a company that's decided, you know what, we can put off upgrading our shit for 10 more years because 90% of it probably won't catch on fire?
Right.
Or do you want, like, an engineer to be like, nah, we want this grid to be able to sustain all growth in 50 years, and that's going to promote growth? I don't know. I'm just a guy who's lived through the period of life where they aggressively ripped all that stuff out, and I'm on the other side of it and be like, maybe there's a middle road here. But I think this is what we're all getting taste of. And we're now hitting some crisis points in climate change and stuff like that. That's just going to
expose all the weaknesses that
really stress all those weaknesses
during good times. You don't have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. But as Josh DeBlack said, it has led to the great bidet revolution of the late 2020s. So there's that. We need to now install turbines on everyone's bidet so that we can generate a little power when we're cleaning our tushy. And
okay,
that's the green gap we need to fill here.
Fucking video games at urinals. You got to put in hydro power generators, right? You gotta do it. Like pee at the generator and you get like 1% off your bill or something.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, fuck yeah.
Why not?
It's like if you get to Children's Museum, you got this thing where it's like you're powering a bicycle and it tells you how many watts you're generating. Like, I'm saying just I'd be motivated by the high score.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna try to fucking piss a kilowatt this time.
Yeah, and if you could save so much money on your power bill by doing it, that's twice the incentive. Yeah, I'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put those in my house too.
Okay. Let's see. Watchtower says, "How are your crypto investments doing?"
I don't know. I've stopped looking at mine. I'm just gonna keep them there for the next several years, and whatever they do, they do.
I'll say this: I'm increasingly uncomfortable talking about, like, in stock market investings and Bitcoin and stuff like that. Not because mm-hmm. I'm making a killing or anything, but because I don't know what the morality is of, like, let's say that you have invested in a pyramid scheme and you realize you're the third one on the rung, but there's probably 12 rungs still to develop below you. Like, what is your responsibility? And especially if that pyramid scheme might be contributing to, like, killing the planet, what's your responsibility to not participate in that, to participate in that? And, like, what do you do, like, if, you know, like, if you're the third person on the thing, so you're still going to come out pretty good in this pyramid scheme, but, like, the 11th guy comes in and is like, there's still time for me to get in. It's like, I don't know, because, like, the reality of this is that people have become made rich, like, million and billionaires from this shit, but I've also seen people lose their fucking shirt. Like, you know, like, I've made a little bit of money. I could have made a lot of money if I had mortgaged my house, cashed out my 401k. I could have maybe made life-changing amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the one that's pulling the levers on this beast. So, like, I don't know. Like, I really think that, like, people need to fucking do their own goddamn due diligence. There's tons of places on the internet where you can discuss this stuff with people who are insane and people who are rational and people who are predatory. And like, I don't really want any of that in the Bald Move community. So like, I kind of regret that we ever brought it up, to be honest.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore talking about it entirely because it's a big thing that's happening, right?
Yeah.
Potentially disruptive thing that's going on. But yeah, I would certainly never advise anyone to buy into it.
Yeah, it's like if I was going to Vegas, because it's true that I've gone to Vegas 3 times. I've left with more money in my pocket than I came there every single time. But if I got here in every lunch and been like, everyone should go to fucking Vegas and they should like, you know, fucking bet football games. And it's like, it's a free vacation. It's so fucking, that'd be wildly irresponsible. And I feel like that's kind of what, but the other thing is like, if I happen to get rich, I'll definitely talk about like, oh, you know, it turns out like I made $1 million in the last 10 years on crypto.
Right.
But like, I go back in time and tell people to do it too. Like it's not, cause, and again, I'm only putting in like fun money essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. like a lotto scratch off type money. So the idea that it'll probably change my life is small, but I don't know. That's how I'm starting to think about this stuff. It's not that I'm uncomfortable. And again, it's like, I've not made a fortune or anything like I would have if me and you had hold on to our 20 Bitcoins 5 years ago. But, you know, we didn't do that. So,
right. Yeah, I'm kind of off the, I mean, I'm not off the train. Like I haven't taken any money out of cryptos, but my brother's gotten really into them. And I'm like, when I hear him talk about it, it's just something that is so speculative to me. And he doesn't seem to understand it that way. Yeah. And that kind of pushed me toward not trying to get super involved in it. Just like, let my money sit there. If it grows, it grows. If it doesn't, I don't care. It's not enough money to change my life either way, right? I didn't put in enough money to devastate me if I lose it. I didn't put in enough money to probably make me a billionaire. So,
yeah,
I'm just going to let it sit there and not worry about it at all.
And that's different from like traditional stock market investing, you know, like investing in like mutual fund accounts and like index funds and things like that, because that's a bet. But it's a bet that the worldwide economy will continue to grow in your lifetime. And right. I think that's one of the safer bets there is. And it returns an annual yield between 7% and 12%. And that's enough for most people. If you got, you know, a couple hundred to a couple thousand dollars in your early 20s to throughout your 40s to chip into every, you know, month, week/year to make you comfortable when you retire. Mm-hmm. And more people should do it for sure. And I think that's different. Like, but that's also different than like what people are doing with like fucking Robinhood and, you know, Wall Street bets and stuff. Like that is back to Speculationville.
Yes.
You know, so that's how I look at the investing stuff. And that's also it sucks because some people just like are like working paycheck to paycheck and barely they're shut off from that. And that sucks too, which is why. Big fan of like social wealth funds like some of the Nordic countries have where the government takes surplus money, invests it on your behalf and pays you a dividend. Alaska does that.
I was going to say, we do that in this country, just not everywhere.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, investing is a complex topic. Cryptocurrency is not investing as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. And you guys got to go out there and figure out that shit out for yourself. I don't know. My BFF Jill wrote in and says, now that you're both vaxxed, would you consider recording the same room again? Even if it's only once a week or something, as much as your remote game is on point, nothing beats in-person chemistry. Mm-hmm. I think I spoiled this question, but yes, next week for the first time. And I'm not sure if it's going to be every lunch. But I think once a week is and we don't want to go back to full-time in-person. Although maybe there will be a couple weeks there when Jim makes a move because, you know, eventually I think we like the idea that we're decoupled. Jim's never liked living in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm stuck here for several more years because I've got a son going to school and living by his family and all. And I got to respect all that. If Jim wants to go to Italy or California or I think we can make this thing work. So but also, yeah, I miss recording in the same room. It's the most fun.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's different recording remote and it's not crazy different. I think we can still, you know, do a pretty good job. But man, I was listening to some of our old Game of Thrones stuff because we're adding, you know, putting in ads on all that back catalog stuff. Some of that shit is hilarious, man.
Yeah.
And we're just, and a lot of it comes from the chemistry we have just face to face on the mics. Right.
It's a lot easier to pick up when someone's brewing something when you're in the same room.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah. Caleb Thrower from South Carolina. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, Caleb. If you could snap your fingers, move any show from its current network streaming service to another to immediately gain more viewers, what show would you choose and what service would you put it on? Not sure if the numbers, what the numbers bear out, but I'd move For All Mankind to HBO. However many people are watching on Apple Plus, it deserves more. Cheers to a great weekend.
That might do it. I feel like the audience on HBO is mature enough to appreciate that show. I think moving it to like Netflix would do the exact opposite. I don't know. It's hard to tell because we were talking about this yesterday, just off stream. We have no idea what For All Mankind is doing as far as numbers, because streamers don't put out numbers. They just say, hey, we're renewing this for another season or we're not. It's kind of impossible to say what Apple Plus is doing. So I don't know. Would you get more viewers if you moved it to HBO? Maybe, probably.
Because that's the thing. Like, it's my understanding, at least in North America, that everyone that owns like iTunes or Apple device that's manufactured in the last 2 or 3 years has automatically access to Apple TV, or at least a trial year.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty fucking big install base.
It's huge. Yeah.
Now, whether you can hook a person with, but they're starting to build a nice library, like For All Mankind and Ted Lasso, easy recommendations.
People
easy
liked, recommendations. Mythic Quest, is that the name of it?
Yeah. The one that's got the Always Sunny guy. Mm-hmm. That's like a comedy that they're starting to build a beachhead with. So like, and if they got Foundation coming on. They got a pretty well regarded horror series by M. Night, I've heard. So they're starting to get a body of work, but it's hard to argue that For All Mankind wouldn't be more successful on HBO just because HBO has that pedigree.
Yeah.
The one I was thinking of is American Gods, because that season one was really special. And if it was on a network that like had the institutional expertise of production where they could whoever, I forget the showrunner for that, but it's the same guy who showran season one of Daredevil and Bailed. If they had taken that and given it to like the stable of mature producers and developers, directors of the HBO, like I think it goes on without a hitch. But this thing just it got Walking Deaded, where it just got passed around of inexperienced showrunner. The actors rebelled. There's like it just was a shit show, and it's. You know, I haven't seen a third season if it's even out. It's how much disillusioned I was with the second season. So that one would be an interesting, and for the same reason, I think Penny Dreadful would slot so well into the True Blood slot of HBO, like on a Friday night. And I don't know that HBO canceled, like, and this is all speculation, but I've long speculated that Penny Dreadful was canceled essentially midway through its third season. And the showrunners just had to be like, well, fuck it. Let's tell 2 seasons worth of plot in 6 episodes.
Yeah.
So I don't think that happens on HBO.
I think it's funny that we're moving everything to HBO. It is my preferred network for sure. I'm gonna give you a controversial one. I think Stranger Things would be better served on HBO because they would release it week to week. They wouldn't do this massive dump and it'd be gone in a week. It would be 10 weeks of solid Stranger Things discussion, podcasts, all that stuff.
As popular as Stranger Things is now, I think it would be at least 4 or 5 times more popular if it was released week to week on a network that would support it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like Netflix did a great job starting that show, and they've done a not great job continuing that show. Because like everybody was all about the binge model when they dropped that show the first time, the first year.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the demographic for that show. It was a lot of millennials, a lot of like young Gen Xers out there on Netflix, and they had a big install base, probably the biggest. And so it was a great time to drop a show like that. And then each season that they've continued this stupid model of like all the episodes, all 10 of them back to back to back, here we go. It's gotten worse and worse. And not the quality of the show. The quality of the show is still excellent. It's just the audience is getting tired of it. Cause they don't have that feedback mechanism that like, hey, I saw the Stranger Things as this week. You want to talk about it? No, cause I've seen 8 of them and I haven't seen the last of it. And then Johnny has. And so Johnny's going to tell me about that and I don't want to hear it. So let's not talk about it.
No, I think that it's this is something that's been talked about in the culture for the last 2 or 3 years. And it started as a kind of a whisper and it's now in kind of a full throated rumble where people are like, we liked it better when things came out once a week. And the only naysaying against that is like there are some people that are like, well, I like binging. And like, I don't know why you would prefer a binge unless you literally just watch and talk about television alone. Mm-hmm. Because the week by week with the online communities we got now and with the podcasts and video stuff is just such more of an enriched experience. And the thing is like, I guess if you want to binge and you're watching it alone, then I don't like the, because the argument doesn't work in reverse. Well, like just, you know, wait, watch once a week. Well, I can't because the community that wanted me to do that is destroyed. Whereas you can wait until the fucking last episode's out and then watch them all on a weekend if you want. Mm-hmm. Like,
but I guess you have to avoid anybody about them anyway. Then, well, yeah, spoilers. I mean, yeah,
but you're not talking to people about it. You're not following anyone that follows the show and all that kind of stuff. So just like, you know, like, but it sucks because I understand why it's fun to binge, man. I binge a lot of shows. But it's just like after years of doing this, I just think that it's like way better for the fan communities and for the shows themselves to be released week by week. And I think here's another thing. Netflix was my number one TV service 5 years ago. Yep. I hardly opened everything else. It's now I hardly ever get into it. Like sometimes I'll be
much rather open HBO or Apple TV Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Sex Fucking Robots came out on Netflix. I guess I'll gun through that for the 2 hours and 45 minutes it takes me to do. And then I'm off of that. But I spend much more time on Hulu, on HBO Max and on Amazon. Than I do on Netflix, and it's not even close anymore.
Yeah, so no, like, I haven't opened Netflix to watch anything in months and months. I mean, maybe during when's the last time I watched something on Netflix before the pandemic started?
It was Sex Fucking Robots for me. That's because I saw that coming. You know that the anime, it's Sex Death and Robots or something like that.
Yeah,
Sex Love and Robots.
Yeah, Foreskin Toenails and Robots.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, that's kind of, I remember that being fun. And they're like, yeah, I'll just watch that. And I like Black Mirror comes back. I'd watch that. Stranger Things, obviously. But like,
yeah, they haven't brought those back.
Yeah, like those. Someone had I forget what the stat was, but someone had a statistic of like they did an analysis of social media. And they showed how many months a given movie was talked about in the popular culture. And like, I think the time frame was like 3 months. And like Disney had like 50 movies like that in the last 5 years. 20th Century Fox had 27, you know, like all this. And Netflix Studios had 0.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think that is an indictment of the approach that like they're spending so much money gunning through so much content and they're not buying mindshare. But I don't know, maybe you and I are like aberrations.
I don't think so.
So,
I mean, there's so many options for binging and background watching now that just doesn't make a ton of sense. Like if I want to background watch something, I'm going to YouTube now. If I'm binging something, I'm probably binging old shows. Because, like, I don't know, they also haven't released much that has interested me lately. And I don't know if that's just, like, they powered through. Because you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, it was all like, oh, Netflix, we've got shows for days. We could do this
Tiger
for
King.
Years. We could release shows.
Exactly.
And then they released all their shows. And a year and a half into the pandemic, it feels like they've got nothing up their sleeve anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas these other companies have, like, restarted the engines. They took a little break. They restarted the engines, and now they're pumping out content that's just as frequent and just as good as it was before the pandemic.
I agree. Gear Bear says in chat, I'm a fan of the multi-episode weekly drop for small binges. I could be talking to that too. Like two, I'm not saying it has to be, like one a week, but I think it's, you know, like the smaller of a chunks, the more discussion you're going to get. And there's probably a sweet spot, like the old Lost style 24 seasons, the episode seasons tended to creatively exhaust teams where you had to have filler episodes, you know? And dropping it all at once might just drown people in content, but like there's a sweet spot where, you know, maybe get people started with a two or three thing to get them hooked, or maybe do two episodes a week or something, but stopping and making sure everyone's still on board the fan wagon and getting to speculate and getting to have the fun of all that seems to be critical to a community's success. PJ Friday said, following up my question last week about your all-time best all-time best pranks.
Oh.
Thanks for recommending that I check out Lunch Number 52, which is actually the setup episode for Cachet Lavieux. Of course, I also watched Lunch 53 and was absolutely glorious. I love that someone actually said, who shit the sink? Right? Right?
Yeah.
I fucking died and went to heaven the second that happened. It was so perfect. It may now be my favorite bald move moment of all time. On that note, are there any other particularly memorable episodes of Lunch with Jim and Aaron or any Bald Move podcast that I should check out? I've been a club member since 2018 and have listened to almost everything you guys have put out since then, but I haven't checked out most of the content before then. Thanks and have a great weekend. Man, I don't know. You might want to try Quips because we're bringing those back here in a minute. And I went back and re-listened to some quips after not. That's a Quit Your Pitching. It's where Jim and I would, we had this tool, this internet tool that would randomly generate episode TV show and movie titles for us. And then we would speculate what would those shows be about and who would star in them. And just as all improvised stuff. But I thought some of that stuff turned out really funny and some of it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas
Desperate
for like...
Brett. Is a popular one.
Desperate Brett. Do you have any Dame Furry? The Days and Nights of Apes. Do you have any idea for like the premium content?
Some of our gameplay stuff is really good. I personally really love A Way Out. I don't know if other people love our playthrough of A Way Out, but that tickled me. I really enjoyed that.
That's good. Honestly, it's the stuff when we were just fucking around, like when we were playing like the what was that game? The space game, the roguelike space game.
Oh, FTL.
That FTL shit was so funny. And the Surgeon Simulator stuff was so funny. That game play stuff is pretty high quality content too. The Christmas lunches, you got to probably check out Christmas lunches. Sea of Thieves was great, but you didn't save it. I don't know that. Yeah, we might not have saved that content because we had some glorious Sea of Thieves streams. The Way Out, we didn't save.
I'm pretty sure we saved it.
Man, there was a lot of time where we didn't realize the critical importance of importing things to YouTube. But
yeah, we'll see. Kerbal Space Program. We plussed that one.
Tried to send an ICBM to Australia as our goal one, and it's harder than you think. Rocket science, you know. What are you going to say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are some like off the and like everyone's. It's commonly thought that The Leftovers is like some of our best run of podcasting. So that's a great series and a great podcast if you want to check that out.
Oh, we saved A Way Out. I'm looking at it. Looking at it right here.
It's probably unlisted. Maybe we should list that.
Like seven hours of that stuff.
Maybe we lost a segment of it. I bet that's what happened.
We might
There's
have.
Like the middle, which that sucks, right? Then it's like your cousin, you go over to your cousin's house and they got A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, but they're missing Empire. What the fuck? So yeah, I'd check some of that stuff out. See if any of that tickles your fancy. Tullius Bandle says, listening to December 15th, 2015, rather, lunch, speaking of those drunken Christmas lunches, and you're talking about who shit the sink, and you expressed that one of you have to do it, or did you have to do it this year because it's an election year, and next year political tensions won't be as high. It's been a journey through those, it's been a journey through these, hashtag bald lunch. Yeah, you know, it's really sad. Is that turned out to be pretty much the last family Christmas. There was one other after that, the 2016 year, and then, like, between political differences and my granddad's failing health and him dying and the squabble over his estate, like, my mom's side of the family has pretty much imploded into separate warring factions. So, like, these big, like, crazy 50-person greater family, I think, died with my grandfather, unfortunately. That sucks, but it's a real battle, a real political battleground here in the heartland of the United States. Ezra says, Aaron, can we get a Corona Rice update? And Jim, how goes the Metal Enterprise? I am down. I just checked this. I'm down to like 5.5 pounds of Corona Rice.
Damn.
So I've gone through almost 45 pounds of rice in just slightly over a year.
Wow. I'm
about to knock off another tuna because it's about time to make a big ass thing of fake chicken fried rice. How's the Metal Enterprise going?
Yeah, speaking of making big ass things, it's going pretty well. The last batch of stuff was kind of like a lot of framework. They've got this metal underneath the metal deck plates. They've got metal scaffolding, which is what I'm kind of building out right now, is the saucer section mostly. From what I've seen of videos, pretty soon they're going to be shipping me like neck pieces, which is interesting because I don't have anywhere near. I don't know. I guess they're trying to keep it interesting, right? They don't want to just give you like piece after piece of framework each month and you get bored with it.
I see.
So they're giving me like neck parts and nacelle parts and secondary hole parts. And but I'm not going to have like a completed thing that I can go, oh man, that looks good, until sometime way late in the process.
I wonder where the cynical seams of this project are, because I wonder if part of it is like, you know, if we give them the whole saucer, they might just be like, fuck it, cancel. And I got a saucer.
Yeah,
I got the saucer again. It's like, hey, what is that? The Enterprise? Sure. No, it's just a saucer section, or I got the drive section, and I was, you know, like, I'm going to stop here. I wonder if it's part of that. It's like, you're not going to get the whole puzzle or even half of it. You're going to, like, you know, three separate pieces from three sections of the puzzle are going to snap together at the end just to keep you engaged.
Much. I mean, the cynicism on this business model is tailor made for cynical moves like that. Like, hey, we're going to send them a bunch of really cool pieces up front with like deck plates and escape pods, and the bridge is going to be there.
LED
the lights
glowing. And yeah.
And then, you know, somewhere around issue 42, it's going to be like, you get this one plastic piece that goes underneath, you know, one of the cells that you probably barely see anyway. And that's going to be it for the month, you know. But what are you going to do? Fucking cancel your 40 issues into this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the whole, like, there's so much like psychology behind this program. It's roiling cauldron of sunk bullshit cost and fear of missing out. And
I just hope the end product will be cool.
How can it not be?
Right.
Gnarls points out the vaccine being produced and widely distributed before a man and his family can eat all their Corona rice is a true modern miracle. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
all right. I got a little verklempt. Scott says, best pranks. I was 11 years old on the subject of best pranks, rather. I was 11 years old and my grandmother took me and my 14-year-old sister to Disneyland. As we walked around the park and took on different rides, I just happened to find a seriously big nut, as in nut and bolts, and slipped it in my pocket because it was cool. And I was an 11-year-old boy, so why not? Later, my sister and I finally got to ride in Space Mountain. As our car clanked up the top, I took the nut out of my pocket, pretended to reach over and diddle with the side of the car. Just as we crested the top, I sat up, showed my sister the nut, and said, "Look what came loose." Even my grandmother on the ground could hear my sister yelling, "Put it back, put it back, put it back." Completely unplanned, but my best prank. To this day, my kids make me tell the story every Christmas.
Hell yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a solid one. Real fear, no actual chance of endangerment. Picking on your older sister. What more in life? You peaked at 11.
Wow.
Yeah. Had a little explosion there. Balder the Brave. Happy Friday, fellas. I have an Empire question. I get the need for a consistent output of the pulp and prestige fat feeds for ad sales. Can you talk about your strategy once a dedicated feed show comes back? For example, will you still have the dedicated feed, or will it all go into the prestige or pulp stage feeds? I see what you did there. If you put on a dedicated pulp and if you put it out on a dedicated and prestige, how does ad revenue versus downloads work where the two paths point to the same content? And before you answer, I just want to say I fucking love the Empire business and how open you guys are. I find it fascinating.
So I think,
all right, do you want to speak to this, Jim?
Yeah, so we will definitely still have the individual feeds for individual shows, because those are very easily searched on podcast aggregators and podcast apps. So that's kind of like the top level of the funnel, right? Is being able to search for our content and find it organically. And then I think the thing that's confusing here is those feeds don't point to the same content. It's two separate files that are being published. And so it's very easy to distinguish, like, here's, you know, pulp downloads versus, let's say, Game of Thrones downloads, or Stranger Things downloads. And the second level of the funnel is like, once people get into an individual show, we've got this is what's happening on Bald Move this week, the housekeeping stuff, to push them toward like pulp and prestige in order to, you know, get them to listen to our other content. And then they become a more regular listener instead of just a seasonal listener. And that, you know, obviously benefits us more, right? Because we're selling ads on both of those shows, and the more they listen to, the more money we make. And then the, you know, final part of that funnel is getting them into Patreon or the club, some kind of direct support method.
Yeah. And the way this conceived is one of those things where it's like we conceived it and it executed almost exactly the way we wanted it to, is that it was always every time advertisers would tell us, we'd love to sell your shows, but you can't give us enough. You only give us 6 to 8 weeks of like pipeline. Wish we could sell more. Well, now, like, okay, like, we're not getting all of the traffic for The Walking Dead, but we're selling at least one or two ad slots every week on Pulp and Prestige all year long. And honestly, that stuff adds up, especially with this automated ad insertion stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we're way outpacing, like, our ads are growing for the first time in years, like, because we've, you know, like when we first started, like, Bald Move Television and Bald Movies were something like 1500 to 2500 downloads per week. And we've built those feeds into, you know, nearing 10,000 impressions each week. So that has just made a huge difference. Having two shows we can sell every week, 52 weeks out of the year, is actually better than having one show that you can sell a million impressions every other week, you know, for 8 weeks or 10 weeks of the year. It's actually the way better and way more predictable. So that's been a huge win for us this last year.
And there are definitely trade-offs, and we're aware of them, right? Because that organic search traffic that I talked about isn't there as much when you're piping everybody to this generic pulp and prestige feeds, because we don't hit the top lists, right, as often, because half of our audience that would be listening to an individual show feed and pumping up that easily searched feed in the algorithms is now listening to a generic, less easily searched feed. So we lose a little bit of organic search traffic. and new listeners that way, but we feel like it's probably worth the trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem, especially when we might change some of that up. Like, for example, we Anthony's podcast is exclusive to the Game of Thrones feed because, it just helps us easily partition the money off, you know, because, like, you're right. It would be very hard to be like, well, what's pulp and what's Game of Thrones and how much credit should we blah, blah, blah. If there's, like, maybe some big shows we want to, but I don't know, because, like, usually, I mean, and that's one way if you want to help us game the system is like subscribe. I guess if it's all the same to you and you're like downloading all your podcasts at night over Wi-Fi, subscribe to all of our individual feeds and the Pulp and Prestige if you want, because that'll probably help. But like, you know, some people prefer to do that way anyway. And usually we get enough to generate enough interest to get us on those lists. I feel like we've hit a nice balance with it, but like, I'm only pretty much facetiously suggesting that because like, that's the thing. It's like, as much as sometimes people ask us like, well, what do you prefer? Like us, do you do month to month or quarterly or yearly or what gets you? And the answer is there is an answer, you know, that what pays us the most money, but like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to do. You can't have individual solutions to systemic issues. You know, like what the system is like people are going to buy the thing that they prefer. Yeah. And most people aren't going to think, oh, well, how much can I give, you know, $1 a year more to Bald Move versus the other guy? Those people are real sweethearts and gems and probably the pillars of our community. So I'm not denigrating that type of behavior. Well, I'm just saying that like, if we had an ad campaign that says support Bald Move monthly, it's the way to give them 30 more cents a month. Like, yeah. I don't know, maybe one, like we'd see a shift of 1 or 2% from yearly to monthly, but like,
I think my answer for that is now morphing into do whatever is easiest for you and makes the most sense for you, because eventually you're going to tire of whatever stupid system we've come up with that the 5 hoops you have to jump through every month to give us another dollar a year, and you'll probably stop doing it. Whereas if it's easy for you and you can just set it and forget it, you're more likely to keep doing it, which ultimately gives us more money in the end. So,
yeah. And like I said, I'm all like, I pride myself in how I can have the most amount of fun as frugally and as easily as possible. So like, find a way to interface with Bald Move. That's as easy for you and as comfortable as you can, know, hell, even if you're not paying, you know, if you're not a Plus member, listening to our podcast is generating us money now.
I was going to say, you just interact with Bald Move. We'll figure out how to monetize you. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah. 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 I'd rather someone give me $5 a month than listen to the ads. But you know what? The people listening to the ads are paying me money now. So like, no harm, no foul. So. Okay. Balder the Brave. Happy Friday, fellas. Happy Friday, Balder. Mm-hmm. Empire question. I get the need. Wait a second.
Oh.
I are just about ready to reread a question. Sorry about that. Gwunot forwarded a missive from PlayStation's tweet at me that says, let the Tetramos fly and Tetris Effect connected. This free update introduces multiplayer modes, including zone battle, score attack, and more.
Oh, multiplayer and Tetris Effect now, huh?
It's either coming out or it will be coming out as a free update, which means we're going to have to throw down in Tetris, and more importantly, you and Cecily will have to throw down in Tetris because she beats my ass like a drum, brother.
Damn. Yeah, we'll see.
And I'm supposed to have the spatially oriented brain. It's almost like this, that stuff is a horseshit.
But is play? Because I own it on
your PC only.
Yeah,
man, it should be. It really should be.
But it's Sony, so I don't know.
I wonder if it'll support couch co-op, because maybe the next time we have a Double Dern Friday, which maybe we should have one this weekend. This is an off the cuff idea, but it's going to rain all weekend and be shitty. Maybe we should get together tomorrow night and watch some fucking movies or play a board game or something.
Why did I think you had something to do this weekend? No.
I think my sister rescheduled a birthday party. Maybe I do. Maybe Cecily's up there like, no. But yeah. Anyway, that's the stuff we can plan off the lunch. Sorry. Yeah. Tangent. Mr. X from Colorado. Happy lunch, boys. Happy lunch, Mr. X. Like you, I've been thoroughly enjoying Owen Wilson and Loki. I haven't seen him much lately. I realize that two of my favorite Wilson movies are coming up on 20th anniversaries later on this year. The Wedding Royal Crashers. Tenenbaums and Zoolander.
Oh, yeah, Zoolander's good. Haven't seen
Royal Tenenbaums. I can't believe the Royal Tenenbaums and Zoolanders came out in the same year. That seems crazy.
Yeah.
Or maybe they came out a year apart and it's 2021, 2022. Are either of you guys, or are either of these movies on your movie anniversary podcast radar? Why am I so...
I don't know, man. What are you drinking? Motor oil?
Congested. Yeah, apparently so. I'm doing the over-the-top... over-the-top method.
Yep.
I enjoyed when the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's a good question. Go continue.
It says, I enjoyed when the direct guys did the Wes Anderson series, but would love to hear your view of the Tenenbaums, which is still my favorite Anderson movie. Probably top five soundtrack as well. Zoolander is deeply dumb and in retrospect might have some problematic elements, but hit the right time in my life in the early 20s so much that me and my friends still quote it today. And Wilson gives a truly delightful performance as Hansel, who's so hot right now. I fucking love Zoolander. You don't have to sell me on it. Yeah. And same on the quoting. As a fun aside, you mentioned in a nursery recent, maybe it's on the most recent episode, Loki of episode, that the TVA set looked like a hotel lobby. And that's exactly what it is. It's the elevator and library interior shots are from the Atlanta Marriott.
Okay.
It's just a hotel conference lobby
that they copied and pasted all the way up. Okay.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think that's just it. He gave a screenshot of it. And
with
it,
the statues and everything.
Well, they probably got
the timekeepers are in the Marriott. Jesus.
They are. They're the only things keeping Atlanta. They're the peach. They're the three peaches of Atlanta that bind all the material together.
So I'm looking at our calendar for the rest of the year, and I don't see either of those. What I do see is I see that we apparently plan on covering Escape from New York once in July. Once in August, once in September, once
what
in October,
what?
November, and December. Oh. The rest of the year, we're going to be doing a monthly escape. Oh, twice in January.
Did something become a monthly recurring thing instead of...
Or we decided we really love Escape from New York.
I tell you what, Zoolander's pretty rough. Because we don't like to do comedies, because I think that podcast would be 15 minutes of just like, this shit was funny. And this
it's an especially
stupid
comedy, too.
Yeah, which is why I love it. Mm-hmm. But we're about to miss the Escape from New York. It's July 10th, 1981. That'd have been a good one. That'd have been a good one for the badass series.
I got a month. What do you mean we're going to miss it?
Okay. All right. Thought we had a plenty of badass pulp in July,
but yeah,
but maybe
pulp.
I'm wrong.
Fuck pulp.
Exactly. But Royal Tenenbaums. So here's the thing. Royal Tenenbaums is one of those ones I watched as a baby movie enjoyer. And I hated it. And it's the nexus. It's the time where my white hot hatred for Gwyneth Paltrow incandesced for the first time. Now, I don't know if I'll come off that opinion, because like I've since grown to appreciate Wes Anderson a lot, and I'd be surprised if I hated as much as I did as a 23-year-old Jehovah's Witness or whatever. But I do wonder that Gwyneth Paltrow, surely, because like if I go back and realize I didn't hate her for any damn good reason, I guess I got a good reason now, this whole goop shit. Mm-hmm. But like, that will really shake me to the core. It almost like I remember the first time I tried Chinese food as like a 19-year-old, and I thought I hated Chinese food my entire life. And I don't know why. Maybe my mom took me as a 2-year-old to a Japanese restaurant and the dude got wild with the fire and it scared me. But like the first time I took I tasted Chinese food, I'm like, my whole fucking life's been a lie. This stuff is all. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be like that. But what do you think of the Tenenbaums?
I've never seen it. I don't know.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's a Wes Anderson movie, right?
Yeah.
I assume it would be pretty good then.
It is. And they are comedies too, but they usually have a little bit more there to discuss. That's October 5th. That's got a much better chance of making it onto the radar. In fact, I'm going to take a little break here and make sure that's written down in our calendar. Yep. thrill to this premium content. What I say was October what? October 5th? October 5th. October 5th. That is not on the calendar, so I'm going to put it
wait.
Put it up there.
October 4th and October 6th are on the calendar, but the 5th isn't.
Well, I mean, there's the it's the movies. God, shut up.
Oh, the movie's not. Oh, the day's on there. Okay.
Yeah, there is not a missing calendar on Google Calendars, believe it or not. Is that a yeah, that's an event. All right. Royal Tenenbaums. This is a 20th anniversary. It's a big one. 20th. I need to try to watch it because I, you know, this is going to come up later in the lunch, which is we're almost done with. But like, yeah, like how do we do stuff to, cause like if I hate it, I don't want to do a 20th anniversary. I'm like, yeah, I fucking hate this movie. And guess what? I still hate it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't go right. Okay. TR Dact. Hey guys, making my first trip to Indianapolis this week. What are the go-to restaurants? St. Elmo's. You got to go to St. Elmo's. Try the cocktail shrimp.
Mm. Yeah.
They have amazing steaks, but if nothing else, stop in for the shrimp cocktail.
Spicy.
Very spicy. That's it. They're famed for their horseradish kicked cocktail sauce.
Spicy and pricey.
Yep. I think that's my number one record. That's a number my number one pick. You got another one? Any others?
Jeez. I haven't lived there in 7 years.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure a lot of shit has changed. I know for a fact the one restaurant that I would definitely recommend for lunches has gone out of business. There's a good sushi restaurant in Indianapolis, up near Broad Ripple. It's like halfway between Broad Ripple. Yeah, it's closer to Broad Ripple than it is downtown. If you go up Meridian, Keystone, it's one of those streets. There's a place called Sakura, which has what I think is excellent sushi. Best in the city. It's not like a
sushi
place,
in Indianapolis, quote unquote, they say.
I've had sushi in a lot of places, and it was comparable to some of the good sushi I've had elsewhere.
That's the thing. I've had some of the best sushi in some of the biggest, you know, like I'm talking New York, I'm talking Seattle, I'm talking L.A., and it's never been like if the best sushi in Indianapolis is a 9 out of 10, then it's not like, oh, this is just dog shit sushi.
No. But yeah, I don't have a lot of other suggestions.
MFT says, happy lunch, everybody. Happy lunch. This is behind the scenes kind of question, one I've been curious about ever since I listened to the Burn After Reading podcast. You guys didn't seem to like or enjoy watching the movie, so what was behind the decision of covering it? I don't remember if it's being mentioned that it was a commissioned podcast, and I'm wondering if the movie was commissioned. Would you, if the movie was commissioned, would you have guys discussed the movie differently?
Discussed it differently? No, we may not have discussed it at all, though. That's the difference with commissions, is we would give the commissioner an opportunity to say, okay, well, maybe you watch something else then, or give me some of my money back, because
We have a whole provisions about that. Like if you come and try to commission something that we think we'll hate, we'll be like, hey, this is a really risky commission. And then if you have us watch it, there's like, we can be like, yes, we absolutely do hate this. We're willing to do a podcast on it, but also we could take your money and put it, the majority of it, towards something else that you might prefer, you know. Mm-hmm. But mostly, like, we're trying to get a couple of these things in the can so that we're not forced to put out a bad podcast. But this one was like right on the edge, because I thought while we didn't like the movie, we both respected it, and we also were not immune to its charms. Like we saw the things that I think were good about it. So like it was one of those things where it wasn't like if it was just us just like windmill dunking on a movie. I don't know. The thing is like I think what makes a bad podcast is when a movie sucks and we don't care about it. And that's one of the things, the big things that we learned from like 2017 through 2019 is like, we are not well served by seeing a movie every week in the theaters. We are well served by seeing movies that we're passionate about, because we'll either love it and we can tell you why we love it, or we can be disappointed with you. Because like, if I see Fast and Furious 9, supposedly the last Fast and Furious, if that movie sucks, I'm going to be fucking outraged, you know? And you also know I'm not expecting like fucking The Godfather, right? I'm saying if it sucks by Fast and Furious standards, I'll be pissed. And people will want to listen to it because they want to hear a guy that's passionate about how this movie let him down. But like seeing something that's like The Little Stranger.
Yeah.
Like that movie didn't suck and it wasn't great. And I was only kind of sort of like, I would have loved that movie if it was great, but it wasn't. And it's just kind of like, meh. And we got half the downloads of a good movie and we waste it. So it's like, that's why we're trying to get a couple movies ahead. So like, if we have a movie where it's like me and Jim watched it and we come like, man, this podcast kind of sucked, we can just shit can that and just put out a good one. But I thought Burn After Reading was kind of borderline.
It is. Yeah. But we didn't have that backlog to go to. And yeah. I mean, sometimes we'll put out a podcast that people won't agree with us.
Yeah, that's fine. But I don't like putting out a movie that I don't like and don't feel anything about. And I'm trying to, that's one of the goals we had for 2021, is never put ourselves in that position again. Not a Cult says, I've been thinking lately about how absurd it is to bicycles not utilized seemingly at all in the zombie universe. For me, it's a preferred mode of transport even early on, but especially once fuel becomes scarce. It's quiet, efficient, reliable. Guessing, very easy to find parts for and replacements. You can load them up, walk them through a tough terrain, hide them when you hear something coming. I've stopped walking The Walking Dead and its offshoots. I can't say it's for sure it's been explored by universe. Oh man, you fucking really missed out in season 10, buddy. But am I missing something here? Jim, bicycles in the apocalypse. You're the expert.
I have never had a bicycle for more than 1 year that did not need to be refilled or have its tires changed entirely. Tires on a bicycle degrade faster than tissue paper during a pandemic. That's my only real concern with the bicycle. Now, if you could get some solid state wheels and just strap those things, or solid state tires, just like solid rubber, that's your ultimate zombie transportation.
I do think that it seems like supplies for like tire, especially common tire sizes. And it's like, every Walmart you go to for years after the apocalypse is going to have like entire new bikes and crates of like inner tubes and tire. But that's the, I think, critical weakness is, number one, off-road biking, like, is really, like, even when people say off-road, they're talking about trails and shit. Like, you can't just like go plowing across the prairie or a mountain range on a bicycle. No. So you need some kind of trail system or roads. So you're limited to kind of that. Whereas walking, you can literally go wherever the fuck you want. You got a machete. There's nothing that can stop you from going wherever the hell you want. And the other thing is, like, if you're loaded up and like your bike hits a flat in the middle of nowhere, you're going to be forced to abandon a lot of your shit until you find a new bike. So like, I could see that, like do you, would you rather just always have what you can carry or occasionally? But I do think bikes are something that has been overlooked for sure. And Walking Dead's innovated. In season 9, they had one running a washing machine with human pedal power. Season 10, they just biked over land, baby. So they're innovating. Finally, the last of the comments, Michael says, I've been watching or rewatching Game of Thrones before bed. I'm struck at how things really start to fall off in season 5. I'm on episode 5 now. Having read the books in quarantine, I think I lay equal blame to both GRRM and the DDs, the double Ds. The story in both mediums lacks focus. Thoughts?
I mean, that sounds right to me. I don't think Martin's known for his focus. He's known for his sprawling stories.
Yeah, it's funny because like we've been going through the Game of Thrones seasons and retroactively inserting ad insertion points in it. The, you know, speaking of this ad baloney, And I have to listen to bits and pieces of it to find those. And I found this amazing conversation between me and Jim at the with the wrap ups episode, I think, of season 5, where we were basically saying, man, there was a lot of things wrong in Dorne, and even stuff with Arya, and the stuff with Stannis was weird. And like, I think it's possible that we might, like, in several years, hence, look back and see this is like where the wheels fell off, except for Hardhome was so fucking awesome that we all kind of collectively like, yeah, baby, Game of Thrones is back. And I think that's 100% right. Like, all the places where the Double D's had to kind of go off-road and make up their own shit was terrible, but there was a couple, like, bangers that they still, and I think they learned the exact opposite lesson that they should have, which is, like, you know what we need? More fucking Hardhome, baby, because the final season was almost all Hardhome type shit.
It's so weird to me that the Dorne stuff is what fell off there, because isn't that, like, just a self-inflicted gunshot wound from... Because there's Dorne, like, stuff in the book that's good, right? It's just they decided not to do any of that.
But it ends in the middle of it. No one knows how it connects to the main plot.
Well, everything ended in the middle of it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
So why are you pruning that branch?
100%.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why do you get Alexander Siddig to be, like, a really good version of this guy who's supposed to really be popping off in a late scene of Game of Thrones, and then you establish him, you spend all that time adapting this plot of these two unrelated Kingsguard guys that are going down there fucking around, and you give it that to Jamie and you give it to Bronn, and then you spend all that time, you develop the Sand Snakes, which are later in the, it's this really complicated Citadel plot that's probably going to involve Sam in the books, and then they were there for bad pussy and that's it. And I don't know. Yeah, like, I think looking back, season 5 is where the wheels fully fell off of Game of Thrones, and it was just trucking. And but the thing is we're like, but on the other hand, this is one bad season, and obviously there's going to be some transition things because they're going off book, and we gave him maximum credit, but season five is where the fractures really started showing, and we just, Hardhome was so fucking good, and they had so much faith built up that we coasted, and then when you get to the end, then people started like, wait a second, Arya got stabbed 17 times and thrown into a shit pond, and you know... Like you start to really start thinking about it, and like, how where did this guy come from? And he ran from where to where? And it just doesn't make sense. So anyway, that's it for lunch this week. Unless you've got some more punches to the scrotum you'd like to deliver to the Double D's.
No, but I will take all their foreskin, please. Give it to me. Go on it.
Oh man.
Probably don't have those guys to give.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Were they born in America? Because that's a leading indicator. Anyway, that's it for lunch. We brought it back. I don't know why. We brought it back to the crazy beginning.
Why wouldn't we?
We are going to be back Sunday night live in front of your eyeballs on twitch.tv/baldmove at 8 p.m. We're doing Star Trek. I think it's the one where Deanna's having nightmares. Kind of going crazy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's his night terrors, I think is what it's called. I'm not going to lie, it's not the best Star Trek episode, but we're going to have some fun with it. And then we are doing High Life, which is a highly regarded science fiction movie from 2018 starring Twilight heartthrob Robert Pattinson and the creepy redhead from The Cure for Wellness. And it's about a crew of condemned prisoners and scientific experiments involving genetic engineering and a masturbation box. And I am peak excited to see this thing.
Yeah, dude.
It's going to be a full on fucking thing. 8 p.m. this Sunday on Sci-Fi Sundays. Check it out. And again, next week, we got a ton of great content coming out. We recorded a really good episode podcast episode, I thought, for Raging Bull that'll be coming out this week. And then Rick and Morty comes back this weekend. Speaking of oddgies, so we're going to have full coverage of that out Monday. And Loki continues to be interesting. And finally, we're on the same playing field as everybody else. Nobody else got advanced episodes or anything. So we're going to be hot off the presses on that with Wednesday on 1 p.m. recording it live, and it'll be out later that evening. Also, something we're doing, if you guys aren't into the Twitch stuff, is we've got a video editor that we're paying to make highlight reels, and he's taking like some of the funniest, most interesting stuff and just doing like a 2 to 3 minute clip that I'm posting on YouTube, youtube.com/baldmove. And also for our Loki podcast, he's like taking out interesting bits of that conversation, shareable bits like speculation on Easter eggs and stuff. So if you guys want to check that out, I think they're entertaining on the face of it. And if you guys want to share it around the people, that's what we've designed it for. So we're trying to get this video stuff worked out so that when the big shows come back, when the Game of Thrones, we've got a nice, you know, base over on YouTube going as well. And we did some good work. Like, we had some pretty good numbers for like our Expanse coverage, especially our The Boys coverage. So, but yeah, if you're not a Twitch fan, but you still kind of want to like kind of see like what it's all about, see some of the jokes and all that stuff, check those out. They come out early in the week on youtube.com/baldmove. So anyway, that's it. We are going to get on TikTok. There's no like, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't take the best joke from the highlight and that like 15 to 20 second and throw it out. Like, I was thinking of like, I muse a lot about Data. He's my favorite character. And I say some funny stuff about him, like just having hashtag just Data things, you know, like just random observations that you put out on, because that's the kind of stuff that, like, you know, I've seen David Chin has been killing it on TikTok.
Yeah. Saw his viral video.
Yeah. And it's like pretty stuff you can do just really quick and easy. So I definitely want to try to get on that, because that's where a lot of the, you know, I want to try to get the Zoomers, man.
I mean, truth be told, we've just been chasing David Chin our entire careers. So
it's true.
Yeah. Where he goes, we follow.
We've been trying to fend off the tentacles of the Chinpire for going on a decade now. Mm-hmm. And boy, this TikTok, he's outpaced us. He's got that TikTok tech. We can't fall behind in the TikTok race, man.
What other Chinese social media could we get on? Is there anything like new and upcoming that's beyond TikTok? Can we beat him to something for once?
I don't know. He tried to make Periscope a thing, and I don't think that worked. But see, that's the thing, the innovation. He finally found one on TikTok. But yeah. So anyway, that's all the stuff that's coming out. And we got another fabulous lunch next week as well. Thanks for all the participation. And of course, for all your support. See you guys next week, everybody.
See you
later.
Ya.